think so. All right, Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We want to be passionate people. And whatever God gives us to do, specifically when it comes to us doing what in His Word, I was thinking about this, I jotted this little note down. Passion and pleasantness are more forgiving, though they may be imperfect, than perfection without passion and pleasantness. You don't have to be perfect in what you do, but boy, being passionate about something and being pleasant in whatever you're doing sure goes a long way. And people overlook a lot of things about you when you're pleasant and you're passionate. You can get it wrong 1,000 times and that don't bother them. But if you show no passion and you're not pleasant, they notice every imperfection about you. It just goes with the territory. And we want to be passionate, passionate people of pursuing the Lord. If wisdom is the principal thing, you won't be passionate, it's pursuit. And ask God to teach us. Amen? You know, Proverbs 4, verse number 5 says that. Get wisdom. That word, what we say it meant this morning. To do what is necessary, to pay the price, to buy it. Same as Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding, and do not sell it. Get it. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. That would be coming from Solomon as he writes these things. And then he reminds them, do not abandon nor neglect her. All these feminine, personal pictures of wisdom. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. She will not neglect to keep an eye or keep a watch on you. Love her, and she will guard you and keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, elevate, lift her, and she will elevate or raise you up. She'll promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. We looked this morning from the perspective of if you abandon and neglect and keep mistreating wisdom, there's going to come a point when you're going to need wisdom and wisdom is going to mistreat you. It's just inevitable. You're going to want it, but she's not going to be there to be found. You're going to need it more than anything, and she's not going to answer that call. It's just inevitable. Matter of fact, Proverbs 1 teaches us that. Go to Proverbs 1. Wisdom is not something you can continue to neglect, push aside, and mistreat, and not suffer a consequence for that. No different than mistreating and neglecting a spouse or a family member or a person that over and over again is eventually going to turn around and bite you. It's gonna harm you or hurt you. Verse 20 of Proverbs 1, when we was reading just a couple of days ago, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. Wisdom raises her voices in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. Now, I know we've discussed this in the past, but all those things outside, open squares, in the concourses, in the opening of the gates in the city, what do all those things have in common? Let's play a Jeopardy question. What do all these things have in common? What's that? You're not good. When I said let's play Jeopardy, you just said bloop, bloop. Your brain went to mush, huh? All right. Well, let's get the common denominator in all these things. Outside, open squares. What's that? Where people gather. Among people. Wisdom. Though wisdom comes from God, wisdom is communicated by God through God's people. Through God's people. Now, of course, we glean wisdom from the revelation of His Word. You got to keep in mind, most people in those days didn't have what we have today. Come on. When these things were being penned, not everybody had a copy of the revelation of God. Not everybody had a copy of the Older Testament. These things were just being pieced together. They didn't have that. You know what they had as they knew of the Word of God? Was the first five books of the law. And not everybody had a copy of it. They went to school to learn it. And that's why it was said, put it on your wrist, put it on your head, put it on your arms, tie it till you hide it away. Because you couldn't have it. You didn't have it. Not everybody had a copy of it. So you had to give all your attention to it to take it and have it when you left the place that you heard it so you can walk in it, so that you could remember it. They didn't have it. So what God would do, God spoke through people that were wise, and wisdom kept calling out in the streets and in the highways and the byways where people crossed paths, where people gathered, and wisdom was always speaking. And if we neglected to hear what wisdom was speaking, then we would find ourselves one day in trouble in needing wisdom, and then we would not be in a position to hear wisdom speak. And this is what these passages are saying. Verse 23. Well, I'm going to read verse number 22. How long shall you, simple ones, will you love simplicity? That is basically saying to love simplicity rather than wisdom. You give your attention to things that you love. You put your eye on things that you treasure. When we love and treasure something, that's what we're in tune to. That's what we're listening for. That's what we pick up on. That's what we hear. When people are talking in conversations and we can't understand what they're talking about, and what they're talking about is kind of like a foreign language to us, we don't pay much attention to that. I mean, we may be intrigued in how it sounds, but eventually we tune them out. No different than when you listening to somebody talk, or you watching a program or listening to a song. You don't pay a whole lot of attention to songs. You don't know what they're singing when you can't discern what that is being, what is being said. That's where that word understanding comes in. Understanding has the idea that you can understand my language in here tonight. If I was talking in a foreign language and you had no clue what I was referring to, you would have no understanding of my language nor what I was being said. But because you do know the language, you can hear what's being said. You can understand the language so we can communicate with one another. That's the idea of understanding. I understand it and I can process what I'm hearing. I can piece it together and separate it. And when I have that understanding, I can communicate that language, then I take that and the knowledge I have, and God must give me wisdom so that I can know how to take the next step in what I understand and know, how I can put it to work, how I can apply it. Well, simple people tune in to simple things. And this idea of not just being simple, because I'm a simple guy. I don't like being, we talk about this from various times. I like living a simple life. I don't need my life to be complex and don't have to experience all these things in the world. I like being simple, but I don't want to be simple in my understanding. I don't want to be simple in my wisdom. I want to know the insights and the secrets and the covenants of God, where He reveals that to those that fear Him. But the simple-minded doesn't pay attention to the wise. They're on their own, running their own agenda. They tune in to other simple-minded people. And He says, for scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. So here's that wisdom. When you neglect and abandon and mistreat wisdom, there's going to come a point where wisdom's going to mistreat you. When you need it, it's going to laugh at you. And it's going to say, you ever heard that saying, I told you so? Y'all ever said that before? Anybody ever told you that when they've been telling you, and you did it anyway, and then afterwards, told you so. Sometimes you're in that situation like with a kid, and they get a little bit older and they get a little wiser, and you've been telling them, but they've not been paying attention. Then it goes just like the way you explained it. They'll look at you and say, Brittany? No? All the time. They'll turn around when they get a little bit older. They'll let you know that you told me so before you have to tell them that you told them so. You know what I mean? You told me it was going to be just like this. You told me it was going to work out like this. But wisdom says when you find yourself in anguish, when you really need help, solutions, answers, said he's not. Wisdom's not going to answer. She's not going to answer. Verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me, what? Early. The idea of be diligently, quickly, urgently, early, but they will not find me. Because there was a time when they hated what I had. They hated my knowledge. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own fancy and be filled with the full of their own fancies. The consequences. So that goes back to why Solomon said, look, you love her. You embrace her. You exalt her. You do whatever it takes to gain her. Because if you don't, you're going to need her. And when you need her, she's not going to put a watchful eye over you. She's not going to guard you. She's not going to protect you. She's not going to keep you. And I want to tell you, we need wisdom to keep us. Amen. Because left to ourselves and us walking in that simplicity or that scorning or that foolishness, all we're going to do is set ourselves up for failure. It's inevitable. And then we have to reap the consequences of that. We have to eat the fruit of our own fancy. And I'm telling you, we're all guilty of these things. You know how many times God had a word for us and used somebody to speak life into us? But because we were so caught up in some frivolous thing, some foolish thing, we didn't pay any attention to it. Man, we just were on a course going down an abandoned road with an abandoned bridge, and we ignored every sign that said the bridge is out. But we kept running with it with no headlights on and thought, hey, we were having a time of our life until we went off the deep. And ain't no turning back. You know, and this is what we find here. These are things that we cannot neglect. Look, if you would, in chapter number 5. Look in verse number 1. There's reasons why he uses these two words in the sense of when something costs us something. We often use these words and they're so familiar to us, we don't really ponder the idea of. But when it says, my son, what is the next phrase? My son, do what? Pay what? Pay attention to my wisdom. Notice the next word. Lend your ear to my understanding. Pay attention and lend. Pay attention and lend. Those are terms that we use when we're dealing with, if you bought something, what did you have to do? You had to do what, Mama Rob? You had to pay for it, right? You had to pay for it. It cost you something. You ever lend money to somebody? You lend something to them? Lend your ear. Give it over to me. See, every time we pay attention to one thing, it's going to cost us in paying attention to something else. You can't pay attention to multiple things all at one time. Some people are better at it than other people. But for most people, most times you can't pay attention fully to a conversation. You're going to have to pay the cost and set this other conversation or this other thing aside and give it up to pay attention to this conversation. It's going to cost you something. So when he says, pay attention to my words, he's saying it's going to cost you from listening to everything else so that you can tune in. And then you're going to have to lend, give up your ear to me. If you lend your ear over here to this, you can't lend that same ear to something else. It doesn't work that way. I can't lend something to somebody and they have it, me not, and be able to. I can say I can lend it to you later. I can give it to you at another time, but right now it's in somebody else's possession. You see, so when we lend our ear, or we pay attention, and saying, I've counted the cost, and me lending my ear and paying attention to you is worth more to me than giving my focus and attention to something else. And this is how we approach this with tuning in to the things of the Lord. How many times you ever got up in the morning and you jumped into God's Word and you was reading it, but your mind was everywhere else? You was thinking about everything and their brother, and you just went through the routine. Well, you checked that off for the day. Well, I done my Bible reading. I did what I was supposed to do. Now let me just get on to my day and everything else that's got my attention and focus. And you walk away and you do that for a day, and then you do it for another day, and you do it for another day. And then all of a sudden you get to a place where people start getting under your skin, and problems start just bothering you, and you get anguished in your spirit. You get agitated. You're kind of like an old spark plug. You get an old spark plug that gets a little sludge on it, and it starts misfiring. What it's going to do? It's going to start showing a little smoke here and there. It's going to start clugging and sluggish, and how it wants to run and start. Well, we get that away when we get a little sludge in our life because we've given our attention to everything else but the Lord. And we walk away and say, man, I'm not getting anything out of my reading. I'm not getting anything out of my Bible time. I tried that, and I don't get nothing out of it. Well, it's because you're not putting anything into it. It's the difference between just opening the Word and looking at it and reading it and giving yourself over to the Lord and saying, God, you have my full affection. You have my full attention. I'm giving you everything I got right now. Would you speak into me? I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you today. And I want to tell you, He makes a world of difference. Amen.
Amen.
It does. That time becomes something that you treasure. And it's not just something that you do in routine. And I believe we can get there. I believe some are there right now. They're just going through the motions, the steps of it. It's like a checklist. Well, I did that. Now let me go on. But remember, wisdom is the principal thing. I need to hear from the Lord. Because not only does wisdom speak out in the gathering places, well, I gather with people, and I think God wants to use me to speak wisdom to people. Amen? But if I'm not speaking wisdom to people, it's because I'm not hearing wisdom from God, and I don't have any wisdom to give away. And if I'm not giving any away, I'm surely not hearing any. Are you with me? Because I'm missing this somewhere. And I want to be in position where I can hear what God is saying through other people. And I can hear what He's saying and what He's doing with me. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says that we are to guard or keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it springs all the issues of life. I mentioned this morning I brought these filters in. You know, filters, we use them every day of our life. You know, on your sinks, you know, every time you turn a faucet on, most faucets have a little trap in there up inside. That's why that water comes out either spraying, or it comes out in a neat little stream when it comes out, even when it's solid. But you take that little strainer, that little filter that is in there, it's just going to come out and spread out everywhere. It's going to have no consistency to it whatsoever. So we use filters for everything. Filtering air, sunglasses, filter light. We use them all the time. And filters always guard something. And we want our hearts to be guarded and filtered, because it's from the heart that we then filter everything in life. That's why all of us see things differently. We put a set of facts up here, and every one of us could look at them, and every one of us is going to see them differently. Why? Because of the information that we have in our mind and our mind's eye and our heart, what we know, how we look at things, how we see things, all that is filtered out. That's why somebody could look at something and say, see it as being pure, and somebody else could look at it and see it as being corrupt and messed up. It's all in how we think, how we ponder. So we would need something to guard our heart, because our heart is then going to filter everything that our eyes and our heart sees in this life. Our point of sight is our eyes, but our heart is our point of vision. That's how we look at everything. It's how we interpret it through what we have in our mind. And I want to tell you, some things are just hard to unlearn. Learning truth is not near as hard as unlearning the lie and the falsehoods. Walking with God, learning His ways, we got a great teacher in Him. Amen? Amen. Man, He can teach. It's unlearning all the corruption. I was thinking about it. We live in an era of recalls. Y'all know that every day there's got recalls going out there. They're recalling automobiles. They're recalling this. How many of y'all like it when they recall them salads you just brought home? And I mean, recalling. Yeah, could y'all remember that when y'all was younger, having all them recalls? Not to say that we didn't get stuff that was corrupt or polluted or whatever it is, but we live in an information age that has filters in it now. And when anything goes south in one plant and it's supplied food across the country, that automatically gets broadcast, well, hey, you need to go look at your bag. If it's produced in this place with this number, with this lot, you need to chunk it and get rid of it. Well, when that goes out, we normally throw all the salads out. We stay away from the salads, right? Stay away from the avocado. Stay away from this. Stay away from that. We live in a recall era, and those are all just another form of filtering us from being polluted with a contaminant. But too often we fail to realize is that there's a lot in our life that we need to recall on a daily basis of the junk that gets in our mind that we hear and see that is contaminating the heart. That's contaminating how we view things, how we see things, how we understand things. And the only way to have an accurate filter, you've got to let the Word of God do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's the only way that it can happen. So, jot it down just a couple of things for us. Matter of fact, turn to Isaiah 47. Look in Isaiah 47 before we go to the back. Isaiah 47. 47:10. Notice what this insight that God gives when He says, "For you have trusted in your..." What's that word wickedness mean? It means what? Wrongness, evil. It's just wrong. It's wrong because it is not right. But can you trust in that which is wrong and not right? Yes, you can trust in what, but it has no, it only hurts you when you do that. There's no benefit in trusting in what is wrong. "For you have trusted in your wickedness and you have said, 'No one sees me.'" Notice, "Your wisdom and your knowledge has done what? Perverted or warped you." What some of the other translations read? What's the ESV say?
In.
Keep going.
"Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray. You said in your heart, 'I am, and there is no one beside me.'"
Okay, "Your wisdom has led you astray." Old King James says perverted, right? New King James says warped. What's another? Anybody else have another one?
Turned away,
led astray, warped, perverted. Now, what did it? Their wisdom and their knowledge. The wrong kind of knowledge, the wrong kind of wisdom, that which is not right, can only lead you astray. Can only warp and twist and pervert how you see life, how you see things. We have to have the right kind of knowledge. Knowledge is power, but it's the power to either propel us into the kingdom, or it's power that perverts us from the ways of the kingdom. We got to have the right kind. This every kind of knowledge is not right. So we have to know what we're putting in us to have the right information coming in. Why is that important? The information in our minds and the conditions of our hearts. We need to guard what speaks to our heart. We need to guard what speaks to our heart. What speaks to my heart? What is it? That means I need to pay attention. What really speaks to my heart? Is it things that God would consider holy, right, good, praiseworthy, virtuous, what God would put His seal on and an affirmation on and validation on? Or is it something that our flesh finds appealing, our society would promote? What speaks to our heart? I have to guard what speaks to my heart. And if the corrupt things are speaking to my heart, you know what's only going to happen out of that? That's going to produce what? Corrupt thoughts, corrupt ways. So I got to guard what speaks to my heart. And I want to hear things and hear things from God-fearing people, from people that are walking in righteousness, people that are living by faith. The second thing is guard what serves your heart. Guard what serves your heart. What serves our heart. We want to guard what satisfies our heart. Karen was sharing with me that she had shared a post about the National Day of Prayer. And then she reported another post that was dealing with this thrust and push on homosexuality, if I'm not mistaken, right? In country music, that was really standing behind it, pushing it. And she just said, well, I got tired of looking at it, so I reported it. Well, just as soon as she reported it, just a little bit after that, they took her post off about the National Day of Prayer. That if that offended you, well, your National Day of Prayer offended us. And they removed the post from there. You see, the things that speak to us, the things that serve us. I watch, of course, I see, if you're in the social media world, or if you just walk up and down the streets and you visit people, or you run across people in the highways and the byways of life, just how people communicate and the things that really stir somebody's heart, that serves them, that speaks to them. I see things, I'm thinking, man, they have so much out there that they could really promote that would make a difference in people's lives, but they promote some of the some terrible junk things. You see that, Miss Pat? Things that don't, I mean, there's no way it can feed the life of a kingdom-minded believer. It just junk, but that's what they keep pushing. Why? Because that's what speaks to them. That's what serves them. And if that speaks to you and serves you, you can't help but have corruption come out of that. That's why we have to guard and evaluate, well, what is really speaking to my heart? What is serving my heart? What is satisfying my heart? What sustains my heart? What is it? What we got to guard what sustains our heart. Why is that? Because what speaks to us, what serves us, what satisfies us, what sustains us, will be what supplies and shapes our heart. It's going to be what shapes our heart. I need to pay attention to what supplying and shaping my heart. Because if I'm not careful, this old well of my heart can get polluted. And if you pollute the well, all the water that comes out the well is going to be poison and corrupt. Amen? Now, we're already dealing with a corrupt flesh. We don't need any help in that area. Amen? We need help with what God is wanting to do in and out of our life. So, we need God to help us. We need God's wisdom. Is it going to cost us? Hey. Are you going to grin? Hey, girl. You poison a well, you get poison water. Put poison in, you get poison out. Corruption in, corruption out. So, we need to pay the cost, whatever it is, and get wisdom and understanding. Amen. Need to love her. Need to exalt her. Need to embrace her. She'll guard her heart. Because from our hearts going to come everything else that we do in life. Proverbs 16:3 says one of the best ways to do that is to commit your way to the Lord. Amen. Surrender it over to Him. And then God's going to establish our thought process for us. He's going to establish that. When He's establishing our thoughts, then we're pursuing Him. We're pursuing wisdom. We're going to Him. And His wisdom is going to teach us and going to guard us. And we're going to guard it. We're not going to neglect it nor mistreat her. And she's not going to neglect or mistreat us. She's going to keep her eye on us. She's going to be somebody personal to us. In Proverbs 7, in the next couple of days, you're going to read this, where He's going to say, "Say to wisdom and understanding that you're my sister and my next of kin." Treat it like it's somebody personal. Why? Because somebody that loves you and cares for you and is personal to you is going to keep you from some things. They're going to tell you when you're going down the wrong path. They're going to tell you when you're doing something you ought to not be doing. They're going to remind you that you caught up in this blindness, and we're going to pull you out of something that you was about to fall into. And that's what wisdom is going to do. She's not going to mistreat us. She's going to guide us and give us what we need to walk. The ability to walk in the soundness of God. Amen? Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We ask you to be with us as we break bread again, that you'll keep this food from being hurt to us in any way. And we thank you for meeting our needs. We thank you for your answers and your solutions for life. We know that in Christ we have all that we need, every answer for joy, for suffering, for heartache, for anguish, for grief, for glad-heartedness and contentment and satisfaction. We pray that you would continue to pour into us, that we would be passionate and pleasant people, and that these imperfections that will manifest in our lives will be easily forgiven, and that we would do what you set us apart to do. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.